Good morning. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how great is it to be here worshiping together this morning, right? Oh, yeah, a couple of you. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Today is a big day, and it's such a blessing to gather together with those. Because not only do we have those from both our traditional and contemporary services together, we've also got our preschool staff here with us today, representatives from some of the different ministries that we participate in. And it is good to be brothers and sisters in Christ, a family of faith united in Christ through the Holy Spirit, so that we are one big family. I love it. And, today's a big day for a number of reasons. Three big reasons why it's a good day today. And for one, we've got this combined service, gathering together to worship and praise together, reminding ourselves of the unity that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second is that we have this ministry fair today. It's an opportunity to see the different ministries that are going on here at St. Timothy's. And in fact, if you haven't peeked out in the courtyard, after this service, as you go and check things out, we have over 40 different ministries represented here. 40 plus ministries that we have active and participating in and using to serve and honor Christ and one another here this morning. Over 40 ministries. Ministries that you can either get involved in, you know, like grow groups. You can join a grow group or our children's or youth ministry, Momco, or our preschool. But also opportunities to volunteer and to serve, like our fish food pantry that serves local families in need of food support. Or the Mercy Mobile, Dream House, or Operation Christmas Child. And there are so many more. And as you explore some of these different opportunities at our ministry fair today, I would encourage you to prayerfully consider where it is that God might be prompting you to get plugged in. Because you see, we don't just have all of these different things going on because Pastor Jim just needs to keep busy. You know, Shelley and Scott and Anne Marie, it's not like they just need more to do. We do these things because we believe that they are an opportunity for us to grow as brothers and sisters in Christ and to proclaim the name, love, grace, and power of our Lord Jesus Christ over one another, over our children and our families and households, over our neighbors and neighborhoods to the very ends of the earth. Number three reason. And I suspect that some of you forgot I was even in the middle of a list. I kind of got carried away there. Third reason it's a great day to be here is because we're beginning a series. We told you ahead of time it was going to be 4 weeks. It's going to be six. Because we want to be thorough. Because we're starting to cover the new vision for ministry that we have here at St. Timothy's. It's a vision that actually began well over a year and a half ago. Pastor Jim and I set apart a day to pray together, to talk, to explore who we are and what God is calling us to do as a congregation here at St. Timothy's, and how he might be looking to bear fruit in and through us for the kingdom of Christ as Christ and the Holy Spirit work in power to transform lives. The conversation that begun that day started with lots of prayer and no small amount of drawing ideas in the sand. But it eventually developed into three pillars of ministry, which when you get your binoculars out, you will see hospitality, discipleship, and mission. Hospitality, discipleship, and mission. Three pillars for ministry. And what we saw is that as we looked at the life of Jesus, as we looked at the ministry of the early church, these were common threads that bubbled up each and every time the church was working to proclaim the name of Jesus. They gathered together. They served and supported one another. They were a family on a mission. Hospitality, discipleship, and mission. And in the weeks to come, we're going to explore these in more depth. And as we do, we're going to unpack what they mean for who we are, who we understand Jesus to be, and how we see him calling to serve and be faithful to God's will as a congregation. But one thing that does mean is that I'm not going to cover everything today. I'm actually sort of going to breeze by this. You know, you'll see this for quite a bit of the morning, but I'm not going to unpack that all too much today. Rather, we're going to look at some of the core convictions that we have, the values that we have as a congregation that ultimately led us to focus on the pillars of hospitality, discipleship, and mission. The overarching truths that form and shape the way we understand who Jesus is, and consequently, who we are and what he's calling us to do as his people. And these are truths that are grounded in our Christian Lutheran tradition. Because our identity as Lutheran Christians matters. And perhaps contrary to popular belief, to be a Lutheran is not just about potlucks and particular liturgies or a hymnal that's a certain color. Rather, it is about a biblical understanding of Christ, of who we are, and what he's done for us. And so this first core conviction that we have is that we are a congregation. I should have made that so much bigger. Next August, I guess. I'll take a crack at it again. We're centered on Christ. We are centered on Christ. Christ is the center, the foundation, and the focus of all that we do. You see, this isn't Pastor Jim's church. It's not my church. It's not even your church. It's Jesus's church. This is all about and for him, and it all points to him. You see, there's a set of convictions, Lutheran theological commitments, that are known as the five solas. Now, that word sola is Latin for only or alone. And this first conviction that we have corresponds with one of the solas of the Lutheran Church. Solus Christus. Christ alone. That's why when you walk into this sanctuary each week, and you look towards the front, what do you see? It's the cross. See the cross and the altar. The cross where Jesus laid down his life for us. And the altar where each time we come and kneel, to receive the body and blood of Christ, the bread and wine. What are the words? What are the words that you hear? The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Christ is at the center of all we do. The one that this is all built on. And the truth is that when we make the main thing, everything else falls into place. You know, Jesus has said, I am your Savior. I am your Lord. I am your King. But the reality is that many people, even Christians, want to keep Jesus in a place that they're comfortable with. He's my co-pilot. I'm in the driver's seat, but he's there when I need him. Maybe he's like a genie in a bottle. You know, when I've got something I want, you know, Jesus, can I have this? But Jesus never claimed to be any of that. He never claimed to be anything less than the very Son of God. He said, to build your life on me is to build on the firmest foundation. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. In all we do here at St. Tim's, we seek to give Christ his rightful place in our lives as our Savior and Lord. Solus Christus, Christ alone. And for our second core commitment, I'm actually going to dig back a little bit into church history. As you see, in 16th century Germany, at the time of Martin Luther, the Catholic Mass, you know, the services of the Catholic Church, they were all done in Latin. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, wow, I didn't realize that 16th century German peasants knew Latin. They didn't. Their worship services, including their encounter with God's word, was in a language that they did not know and did not understand. And it was mediated through priests. You see, the common people had no access to read God's word. And when it was read to them, it was read in a language they didn't know. And it was not the authority of Scripture, but rather what the church had to say about Scripture that was considered authoritative. And one of Martin Luther's great crimes was translating the Scriptures into the language of the people and then using a piece of cutting-edge technology called the printing press to put God's word in their hands. The second commitment that we have is to the authority of God's word and a commitment to biblical literacy. You see, we as a church, we honor and recognize the authority of God's word, and we let it shape, mold, instruct, and guide and teach us. We know that God's Spirit is at work through the Scriptures. There's a sola for this one too. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. That Scripture is the sole authority for the church. Not pastors, denominations, or even bishops. It's God's word. And so that means that when Pastor Jim or I preach or teach, we do not want you to blindly accept what we say. Test it against God's word. Test it against the Scriptures. Confirm that it is a faithful testimony to the good news of Jesus Christ revealed in the Scriptures. But I also have a challenge for you. Test your life against the Scriptures also. See where it's out of sync. And ask God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, to conform your life more and more to the likeness of Christ and to the will of God. Sola Scriptura. And the final value, that final conviction that forms the foundation of this vision for ministry, is that we recognize that it is Jesus Christ himself who comes to us. Like the parable from the Gospel of Luke this morning, Jesus is the good shepherd, and he goes out with the purpose of pursuing the lost sheep. You see, we're not here because we are so great. You know, St. Tim's isn't a church filled with people who are just better than everybody else. We aren't here because we're more holy, more moral, or upright, or righteous. We're not here because we're more deserving of God's love than anybody else. We're here because while we were dead in our sins, Christ laid down his life for us. We're here because the words of Romans chapter 5, verse 6 are true. While we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We're not here because we are so good, but because Jesus is. Sola gratia. By grace alone. Grace comes to us in Jesus Christ, and it comes all the way to us. There's nothing left that we can do, nothing that we can do to earn it or deserve it. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that none of us can boast. Now, this idea is made most clear to me when I think about heaven. And I want you to do it this morning, too. I want you to imagine heaven. Imagine us there in the incredible and glorious presence of a mighty and a loving Heavenly Father. Every tear wiped away, every wrong made right, every scar redeemed. They're praising God with one another, with those who have gone before us, and with all the brothers and sisters in Christ who are yet to come. And I want you to think about it. What did you do? What did I do to deserve to be there? Pastor Jim, what did you do to deserve to be there? What about you, Scott? Absolutely nothing. It was all Jesus. It always has been and it always will be. The Word made flesh that came to dwell among us. A light that shines in the darkness that the darkness cannot overcome. A good shepherd who goes out for even the most lost of sheep. For lost sheep like us. And he does so through the preaching of God's word. He does it when parents faithfully teach God's word to their children. He does it when you go out and represent Christ in the places that you live and play and work. He does it when God comes to you, when you're at rock bottom through a brother or sister in Christ, as they come alongside you in your time of need. Christ comes to us as we lift up one another in prayer and trust in the faithful promises of God. And when we respond to the call of Christ on our lives to do the good works that we were created to do, not so that we can be saved, but because we have been saved, Christ comes to others through us, through you. Sola gratia. By grace alone. So there they are. Three convictions that we have as a congregation that form a foundation for our vision for ministry. A vision of hospitality, discipleship, and mission. A vision that will shape and mold who we are and what we do as we strive to grow in fellowship, faith, and reach out to the community right here in our own neighborhoods, in our own homes, and in fact, to the very ends of the earth. With the love of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to the glory of God the Father. Amen.